Ding, ding. Ah, it's a thrill to be back. It's, I think, 5 years since I was here. And I've done millions of miles since then. I'm going to talk to you tonight about your evolution. It's probably not the way you see it, but I'm really into the shortcut, you know? All this bullshit of going up a fucking mountain in the Hindu Kush, forget it, it takes too long. I like to helicopter in, talk to the guy and leave, you know? No pissing about. Because we live in a fast-moving world. And I'm not mad keen on things that are complicated because, I don't know, I've always liked spirituality to be very simple and easy. And all spirituality in the end is to do with freedom. Because you don't get freedom for nothing. And you don't get meaning for nothing. Our societies are not designed to set you free. They don't say, now let's have lots and lots of laws that allow all these lovely Danish people to be free. To be individuals, to fall in love, to make as much money as they want, to go where they want, when they want. We don't have countries like that. Our countries are run by the biggest assholes that have ever incarnated on this planet. And they're basically into control trips. And we are programmed to conform, you know? And sitting at the hotel today having lunch, watching people walk back and forth, I was watching them and thinking, wow, how sad. Because they have sort of like conformist walks, you know, they have a special conforming way of walking. And to really conform, you have to press the muscles of your ass like this, you know? Because you have to hold this sort of invisible etheric carrot up your ass. So I was having this very expensive lunch, and you watch them doing conforming when they're walking. There's an actual conformist walk, and it's a bit sort of, it's a bit like that. And then they come to this traffic light, and they're not allowed to cross for some reason that I cannot fucking understand if the little man is red, you know? So they all stand there, I presume in the pissing rain, waiting for the light to go green, you know? And I think, wow, that is so amazing. I mean, why would they do that? You know, imagine when it's colder, which is like, what, most of the time, right? You know, you look up the road, there's no cars coming. You look up the road the other way, you can see the fucking Stockholm. There's not a single car on the road, right? And there's six people at the traffic light standing there in the pissing rain. And you think, huh? Excuse me? Why are they doing it? You know, why are they doing it? And I thought, how weird, you know? So I saw the little red man. I thought, this is perfect. So I walked across, you know? And I thought, wow, if you could just teach people to walk when the little red man comes instead of the green man, you could already liberate people enormously, you know? In fact, if you get to the traffic light and you see the little green guy, don't cross. Wait for the red guy, okay? Then take one or two people's hands and say, here, let's be brave and cross the fucking street when the red guy's on, you know? It's so bizarre. I mean, when you look at it, it's ridiculous. And they're walking along going, we're very sweet people. Ding, ding, ding. We're Danish. Ding, ding, ding. And here comes a little red sign. And now we're going to stand in the pissing rain and wait. When there's no traffic. Now, okay, I can imagine if there's 25 trucks and buses going past, the red guy's a good idea. But if there's nobody on the fucking road for miles, it's mad. You know? And you think, well, how did all these very brave people, you know, these Vikings, these incredible warriors, get to the point where they completely lost the fucking plot and they sit there like a bunch of arseholes at the traffic light, you know? It's ridiculous. But it's no different in any other country, you know? Because, I mean, have you ever been to California recently? I mean, I tell you, California is about as arseholic as you can get. They're so serious. They're so serious. They literally have got these invisible carrots up their ass, you know? And they're rude and they're rushing around, and you can't smoke in California. If you want a cigarette, you have to go to Arizona, you know? There's no place in California you can have a smoke. So I go in this club, and I know it's non-smoking, and I'm with some friends, so I say, let's smoke. They say, well, no, this is California, you know, you're not allowed to smoke. The federal regulations say you're not allowed to smoke. You must have forgotten. I said, fuck the federal regulations. Let's have a cigarette. So we all lit up a cigarette. So they come along, sure. You know, excuse me. You know, I had to smoke. I said, well, I'm only smoking this cigarette. They said, no, no, you're not even allowed to smoke this cigarette. I said, look, brother, you know, I want to smoke a cigarette. What are you going to do about it? He said, well, you know, we can call the police. We can have you arrested. I said, fine. But by the time they come, I will have finished the fucking cigarette. So what the fuck are you going to do about it, brother, you know? So they get in, they're really upset with you, you know? Then the manager comes and says, you've got to leave the club. I says, okay, as soon as I finish the cigarette, I'll go. No problem. And I thought, wow, this is so much fun. So California actually has a wonderful spiritual lesson because there are so many rules in California that you can become, you can test your power. Do you follow me? Because that's really what you've got to do out there is you've got to test the system, whether it's the system of religions, the systems of morality, the systems of sexuality, the systems of God, the political system, the tax system, you know? The tax system, for fuck's sake, man. Let me help you practice the tax system. This is how you handle the tax system. Like that. Excuse me? Try this. Fuck the tax system, man. You know? People ask me for taxes. I say, fuck off. It's my money. They say, but you got to pay. I say, I'm giving you a fucking thing, so fuck off. What are you going to do about it? You know, piss off. You got to fight for your freedom. You have to. Because this is a fascist world and it's getting worse, isn't it? You know, with the European Union, I think they want you to join the euro now, you know? You got very nice little krona, very pretty pictures on it. And they want you to go into the euro. For fuck's sake, have you seen what's been happening to the euro? The euro needs a parachute to survive. It is falling so fast, you know? And they want you to join. And they're going to have scare stories in the paper for 6 months, I'm sure. Why? Because the last referendum you had when you said, listen, fuck the euro, they didn't like it, right? Because it doesn't allow you to drift into the conformity of the new world order. And now they're going to tell you you want to join the euro. I tell you, if you vote for the euro, you're stupid. Because suddenly you have no more power. There'll be some arsehole in Belgium telling you what you can do and what can't do. It's stupid, isn't it? But we're born to this conformity. And if you don't conform, it's very scary. I was going from Vancouver, BC, in Western Canada to America. And I was going through the customs. And one of these customs officers came up to me with one of those little dogs that sniffs your luggage, you know? So the dog's sniffing my luggage, and he's putting this sort of dog snot all over my luggage, right? And my luggage is not so expensive. It's not like it's Louis Vuitton or anything like that. But even so, I did not wake up in this life thinking I need fucking dog snot on my luggage, you know? So I said to this little dog, fuck off and leave me alone. And the customs officer said to me, excuse me, he said, but I'm a government official and you cannot tell me to fuck off because I can arrest you. And I said to him, listen, excuse me, but I wasn't talking to you. I was talking to the dog, right? Now, please inform me if the dog is a government official or not. Because if the dog's in a government official, I'm happy to apologize because I've had a rather tiring day. But if it's not a government official, you know, anyway, in the meantime, the dog pissed off and went somewhere else. But it's mad, isn't it? That they allow this dog to slobber all over your luggage. For goodness sake. It'd be like having a kangaroo that just hopped in. You know, you go to Australia, this kangaroo hops into the customs hall, pisses all over your luggage and hops back out again. Hey, g'day, mate. Welcome to Australia, mate. You say, excuse me, your kangaroo's just pissed on my fucking suitcase, man. But we're supposed to sit there and go, oh, this is fine. You know? Can you imagine Olympic Games when they got like 500 government kangaroos to piss all over everybody? What is this? The Olympic Games, man. We're pissing on your luggage. The point is that spirituality is not automatic. And even our modern spirituality is not designed to set you free. If you've ever joined any of those Hindu religions, you know, there's thousands of rules. You know, if you're Jewish, there's 1,000 rules, isn't there? 666, I don't know, there's millions of fucking rules. Millions of them, you know. You incarnate and think, wow, I think I'll be Jewish. Look at this, there's 600 bloody rules we got to go past. And the Hindus are the worst. They got millions of bloody rules. And even when you're making love, there's a bunch of rules, right? You can't just have a shag and have a good time, you know. That kundalini's got to go this way, it's got to go that way, you got to om and ah, it's got to be 3 a.m, you got to hang off the chandelier, talk to Krishna. What the fuck? I'm just trying to have a bonk with my husband, will you? Give me a break, will you now, will you? No, there's got to be rules. And Christianity, you know, look at the rules in Christianity, for fuck's sake, Christianity's hopeless, you know? Like, my mother was a Catholic, and she had to sign a piece of paper saying that she would raise me as a Catholic, you know, like this. Well, of course, I'm the least Catholic person in the world. But of course, when I was like one, I couldn't argue, you know, because I didn't know any better. But later on, I could argue, you know? And Catholicism is a very funny religion because it's built on fear and it's built on guilt and lots of other things that you probably don't need, right? Like long books about the Jews. I never figured out what the fuck that had to do with me because I wasn't Jewish. I was born in Africa. Well, no, I was born in England, but I was raised in Africa. And I thought, what is all this history of the Jews to do with me, for goodness sake, you know? I mean, I've got nothing against the Jews, but it's like saying, well, listen, we're going to, you know, study the history of the Azerbaijanis. You think, what the fuck for? You know, unless I'm going to Azerbaijan, why would I care, you know? But anyway, I did years of this crap. All these apostles and these tribes and the wars they got into. Anyway, finally, I began to understand Catholicism. I thought, this is really strange stuff, man, you know? And in Catholicism, you can go to hell for more or less anything, right? I mean, for even looking up, you can go to hell, you know? I mean, they've got hell worked out, the Catholics, right? In fact, being a Catholic, it's almost impossible to go to heaven. Because if you make one fuck up in the whole of your life, you know? Let's say one morning you're a bit stoned, you don't get to Mass, you don't get to heaven. So in fact, there are actually no Catholics in heaven, right? They've done an audit. Price Waterhouse, you know, famous accounting company, have done an audit of how many Catholics are actually in fucking heaven. None. Zip. Not a one. Because every one of them fucked up somewhere in the course of 80 years, you're bound to, aren't you, you know? And of course, if you're Catholic, you're not allowed to masturbate, right? So, I mean, imagine how many people that's fucked up for a start, you know? And of course, they all go around terribly guilty because they know they're going to hell, you know? And I thought about this. So when I got to puberty at the age of 13, I thought to myself, well, this masturbation thing's a bit hard because I was living at that time in this sort of English prison that they call public schools, with like 500 other boys. And now I'm 13 and I've got all this testosterone running around my body and like it's almost like I've got my, you know, testicles for earrings, you know? And I'm thinking, women, women, where are they? And there's not one in sight. But you're not allowed to masturbate. So you think, well, what the fuck am I going to do, man? I'm going to padlock my hand to the bed or what, you know? And I thought, this is so weird. This religion's totally fucking out of his head. And I thought about it for days and days and days, and I thought, well, wait a minute, if God really, 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 really was really upset about you masturbating, you know, I mean, really upset, your thingy would be out of reach, wouldn't it? It'd be somewhere strange, like on the back of your leg or something, you know, so down here, you know, and you'd be going like this, and they'd be going, I know what you're doing. You'd be going, oh, sorry, 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 I know. But you imagine God up there thinking, right, we're not going to let any of these people masturbate. We're going to put 10 trillion testosterones flying around their body, right? But we're not going to let them do anything about it. That should work. That should really fuck them up, you know? Really mess them around a bit, you know? So they've totally gone cross-eyed, you know? So I looked at this stuff and I thought, wait a minute, I want to be free. Fuck the Catholics, man. You know, and fuck this masturbation bollocks and fuck the rules. I want out, you know? I want out. So I went, I went on a very strange and interesting path. I mean, some people would be shocked on the path I went on because I basically went out on the streets, you know, and lived my life out there, you know. I don't mean as a homeless person because I made money from the day that I saw a £5 note. But to become free, it's so liberating. It's so glorious. It's part of how you reach the infinite self. You know, the whole point of the infinite self is it's infinite. The whole point of God is that God is unjudgmental and infinite. The whole point of this journey is that you realize that you're not a physical body, you're not a Jew, you're not a Catholic, you're not an African, you're not a Hindu, you're an eternal body, eternal spirit that's rented a body. It's basically, you've gone to Avis, Hertz, Rent-A-Car, and said, give me one. You know, and they said, what kind do you want? And you say, well, I want a fucked up one that has no legs. And they say, oh, we got one here, have this one. You know, or you say, yes, actually, I want to look like, you know, Cindy Crawford. You say, perfect, I'll have that one. I mean, that's the story here. We're trying to become free. But our societies are run by these complete assholes that don't want us to be free. Why? Because they need our money. They need the power trip over us. They need to be able to control us to feel big time and safe and important. But have you ever met a government official that was really important? I never have. You know, I never have, man. I promise you, I never have. They're all totally arseholic to me. You know, I mean, some of them are quite sweet. But they're sweet like a sort of rainy afternoon is sweet, you know? You're watching the water run down the window thinking, when the fuck's the rain going to stop? You know? We're not born to be free, and we're not born to have meaning, because our society is designed to make sure that you don't have any meaning, that you just tick-tock along, giving your money to them so that they have meaning. That's it. Real meaning, you have to fight for it. Real meaning is something you have to discover inside yourself. Now, you may discover real meaning through marriage, love, romance, children, family. You may find real meaning in your spiritual path in life, or you may find real meaning helping people, but you have to discover it. Otherwise, life is comparatively boring, isn't it? And when you turn the television on, it's ridiculous. It's just basically a propaganda tool for TikTok, isn't it? You know? It tells you, conform. Buy these type of fish fingers and not those. You know, these tampons, not those. Buy this shit. And what do they have on television? They have the whatever the government's telling you. Hello, everybody in Denmark, you sweet and lovely drones. Listen to tonight's news. This is what the government is saying today. These are the things that we want you to buy. These are the things and concepts we want you to accept. This is the bullshit. Don't think for yourself, please. We don't want any of that original thinking crap going down here. You know, just buy this bullshit. You know, and by the way, when you get to the traffic light, remember the little red guy and don't cross the fucking road. And you might think to yourself, wow, this is so sad. Well, what happened to the spirit of the Vikings, brothers? You know, what happened to this powerful nation, you know? I mean, don't feel bad about it. I'm not putting you down because it's the same in every bloody nation, you know? Because you've only got to go to England to see what a bunch of assholes they are, you know? It's a very short trip, you know? Or try Germany, you know? For some reason, all the fascists in the world seem to have incarnated in Germany and all the assholes in England. It's really amazing. Totally amazing, you know? So it's not that one particular nation's any worse or any better, but you think to yourself, why, my God, look at these proud people, you know? And how do they fall so low, you know? And how did we all fall so low? It's ridiculous. It's totally ridiculous. So when I started to look at this stuff from a point of spirituality, I thought, well, what would God want? And of course, God doesn't want anything. God's love, immensity, enormity. I've seen it. You know the near-death tube that people see when they have these traumas in surgery? And they see the light of God, you know? And then some spirit comes along, you know, like Jesus, and says to them, not yet. And they realize, oh, fuck, okay, back to the earth plane, right? Not yet. Well, I've seen that 7 times. I didn't die on a surgery table. I just learned this trick in trance, so I could trance myself so much that I simulated death. And I've seen the light of the God Force, and it's immense. It's huge. It has no boundaries. It has no rules. You know, there are no tax forms. There are no regulations of what shape the fucking cheese is supposed to be up there in the God Force. There's no little guys with little red lights that say cross or don't cross. It's big. It's you. It's me. It is the infinite self. And the first concept in that book, Infinite Self, is I am God. And people say, wow, that's really arrogant. What do you mean I am God? Well, I am God. Ding, ding. Wake up. I'm God. Okay? Ding, ding. You're God. And so are you. And so are you. And so are you, sir. We're all bloody God. There is no God outside us. And whatever else there is in the team, you know? In other dimensions, other planets, wherever they are. But we are God. So next time the tax man comes out and says, have you filed your taxes? You say, I'm God. Fuck off. Ding, ding. Ding, ding, wake up. Yeah, if you think the way I do, people think you're a radical, an anarchist, dangerous. Deepak goes around and says, oh, Stuart Wilde, he's very dangerous. Very, very dangerous. And I said to him, excuse me, Deepak, I'm not so very, very dangerous. I'm just an anarchist, man, a spiritual anarchist. Why? Because I want everybody to be free. You know, I want to let them out of prison. You know, I want them to look at all those little vitamin bottles in the morning and say, fuck this shit, and have a vodka and tonic instead. You know? If you're vegetarian, do me a favor tonight. Go to McDonald's. Have a double cheeseburger with all the shit on it, right? The worst crap you've ever seen. Tomato ketchup, the lot. And you'll liberate yourself. You can go back to vegetarianism tomorrow. But don't make it into a religion, for Christ's sake, you know? And it's a mad world that we live in. This is the world that we're supposed to be living in. And of course, the whole of it is the journey towards liberation. So I started off my spiritual journey as a teacher, teaching people how to get out of TikTok. It's what I call this 9-to-5 nonsense, you know? And so I'd say to them, listen, be brave. Be brave. Try it at the traffic lights. Grab 3 or 4 people's strangers' hands. That even when you touch them, they'll be shocked, right? They go, ah, I'm being abducted. No, you're not being abducted. I'm showing you something, brother, you know? Here, hold my hand. We're going to be brave. We're going to walk across this red light. They said, fucking hell, man, we can't do that. You say, sure we can. Be brave. Fight for your freedoms. And if the coppers stop you, if the police stop you and try to arrest you for walking against the light, tell them you're a Polish refugee. Say, sorry, I'm a Polish refugee. And the policeman says, well, what do you mean there's Polish refugee? They don't have refugees in Poland. You're saying, well, no, of course, because I left. You know, I'm here. And he says, well, how many Polish refugees are there? You say, I don't know, but I know at least one. Me. I didn't understand this red thing. He says, and he'll say to you, listen, you've got to stop when it's red, you know. You say, well, I've got to tell you the truth. I lied. And the policeman says to you, what do you mean you lied? You say, well, I'm not really a Polish refugee. I come from Chechnya. He says, what are you telling me now? You say, you're not Danish, you're not a Polish refugee, and you come from Chechnya. You say, yeah, well, that's the whole point of being a refugee. You keep moving, man, you know. If you stay in the same place, you can't be a fucking refugee. You fail, you know. When I, Chechnya, brother, you say to him, Chechnya, have you ever been there, brother? And he'll say to you more than likely, no, I don't even know where bloody Chechnya is. You say, well, it's in Russia, you know. We've been having a war in there, you know. The Russian troops came in and they bombed the shit out the place, man, you know. And that's why I crossed on the little red guy. And the policeman's going, excuse me, you crossed on the little red guy because there's a war in Chechnya. You say, yeah, because, you know, in Chechnya, man, the bombs are falling in the street all day long, you know. My father was killed, my mother was killed, my brother was killed crossing the road. Even the fucking cat was killed crossing the road, you know. So in Chechnya, you can't piss around waiting for a little red guy, green guy, that kind of shit. If you're crossing the road in Chechnya, you got to go really quick, man, you know. So the guy will go, oh, fuck, all right, off you go, don't worry about it, okay. She's a Chechenian, Polish, Danish, something refugee. Then you go around the corner, right, and you find some people that are the green one and the red one. You say, wait, don't cross on the green. Wait for me. We'll all go together on the red, okay? And this is how to make it really successful experiment. Put your finger up. I walk on the red. Ding, ding, let's go. Ding, ding, let's go. Try this. Go into a restaurant and order everything backwards. The whole lot. So start with a coffee. Dessert, main dish, starter, soup, and a cocktail. It drives them fucking crazy. They say, what kind of anarchist is this that wants the bloody dessert first? The other thing you can do, which I love to do, but I've only done it a few times because it's expensive, is, you know, the long list of starters in a menu on the first page, you know? When the waiter comes or the waitress comes and says, which starter would you like? You pause and go, They say, well, which would you like? You say, all of them. They go, excuse me? I did this in a Thai restaurant in Perth in Western Australia. All of them? They said, but there's 22 starters on here. I said, I know, all of them. Give me the lot. They said, you can't eat 22 starters. And I said to the waitress, I said, look, sweetie, I said, I didn't say I was going to eat them. I want to look at them. She says, but you'll have to pay for them. I said, look, I'm not arguing about that. Of course I'll have to pay for them. I said, just give me all the bloody starters. So she gets in a panic and runs off and speaks to the manager and says, look, I think my English isn't very good. There's a bloke over here that wants all the starters, all 22 of them, you know, pad, sod, prick, dom, dick, you know, that stuff they have in Thai restaurants, all 22 of them. So the manager, who's very polite, comes up to me and says, excuse me, sir, Mr. Brown. What's that, sir? He said, she hasn't understood. You want all 22 starters? I said, yeah, the lot. He says, well, that's a lot of food. I said, I know. I explained to her. I just want to look at them. And if there's any dishes I like the look of, I'll eat some. So they bought all 22 starters. It's really cool. But now here's the best bit. Then they come along and say, what do you want for a main dish? So now there's 60 main dishes. 60. Lamb, this, beef. I mean, I don't eat meat, but, you know, all this shit, you know, done every which way. You can have it in a basket. You can have it in a little boat. You can have the king of fucking Siam paddle past if you want, you know? What do you want? I said, all of them. Every single fucking one of them. The manager freaked out. Completely freaked out. And then he put his foot down. He said, you can't have all of them. The kitchen will go crazy, you know? I said, okay. I said, give me 20, 25, 30. What's our deal here? He said, you can have 20. Which ones do you want? I said, I don't know. I'm not from Thailand. You pick them. So they bought 20 main dishes. And then right at the end, when we really want to make it hurt, we got to the desserts. And he came up and said, do you want the dessert menu? I said, yep. He said, what would you like? I said, how many guesses do you want? All of them. That was a great night out. I can't remember how much it cost, but it was fun. Because it's this idea of, like, why should you be limited when you go to a restaurant? You know? Why should you be limited when you go into a bar? Why should you be limited when you make love? Why should you be limited when you talk to God? Why should you be limited when you earn money? Why should you be limited on your quest in life? Why should you be limited on anything, providing you're not hurting people? You know? You are born free. Definitely. There's no question of it. I will give you my personal written guarantee. This whole of my teaching life could be bullshit, but if there's one thing that's definite, is you're free. And you start to become free, and you look at the infinity inside of you, and you just align to it. You are your own sovereign nation. I know people in America who've worked out a way of becoming sovereign people, meaning that they're not part of American tax law. There's a quirky thing in American law where if you're a citizen of the United States, you owe taxes to the Inland Revenue Service. But if you're an American, you don't. In other words, the tax law in America was written for the citizens of the United States. If you elect to be an American person, there is no tax law in America. So these characters figured out it's much cheaper to be American than a citizen of the United States. Because as a citizen of the United States, you pay taxes, and as an American, you don't. So they just decided to be Americans. Then they realized there was lots of other little loopholes, like they could issue driver's licenses, United Nations driver's licenses. They don't even need American driver's licenses. You can have a United Nations one. And you don't even have it into your own name. Do you want to be a count, countess, princess, king? You know, do you want to be Muhammad Ali, Michael Jackson? Who do you fancy? You can have a United Nations driver's license in any name you like. It's legal. I thought, fantastic. For weeks now, I've been thinking, what shall I call myself? You know, what will I have? And it says occupation. I'm going to put diplomat. That way, when you arrive at the customs, they'll see United Nations diplomat. They must think, woo, TikTok, let him through. You know, and that little dog that sniffs and pisses all over your suitcase has got to go fuck off somewhere else, you know? There's ways around everything. One way around is to move. Because if you keep moving, you're free. You know, like a shark will die if it doesn't stop moving. A shark in the sea. It has to move to take in oxygen to stay alive. And I thought about it. I thought, wow, my incarnation as a shark. Because if you keep moving, you're safe. But we tend to think that if we do move a lot, we become unsafe. But the most unsafe place to be is in the same place, isn't it? If you keep moving, you're safe. So that's why years and years and years and years and years ago, I thought, wow, I'll keep moving. And a lot of the time, I move all the time. Like, often I move every 3 days. Ding, ding, let's go. I think I've been in 9 cities in 6 days. Ding, ding, let's go. But that, in a way, is how our spirituality is. Our spirituality is moving. Our energy is moving. Our power is moving. It isn't a sedentary thing, a sitting down, slow, nauseating thing. We're climbing. And at first, you have to fight your way out. You have to fight your way out of the morass of TikTok. And it's really hard to let go. It's really hard to leave. I remember thinking when I left Catholicism, my God, I'm going to burn in hell. And then I thought, well, fuck this, man. I'm going to burn of boredom if I don't leave. But if you look at this, your journey's like this. This is the infinite journey. You start here, TikTok, total nonsense, no freedom. The mother-in-law comes around. You got to eat the stupid cake. You hate the cake. You hate her, but you can't look her in the eye and say, listen, look, I really love you, but fuck off. I don't want the cake. Try it on Sunday next time she comes around. Fuck off. I don't want the cake. You know? Because we're scared to do that. You need somebody to train you to do that. You know? To train you to look the world in the eye and say, listen, please don't take it personally, but piss off. The other night, I was in a club. I work at night a lot. I work at night a whole bunch because I go out with these little wizards that I train. And we go and save souls at night. And I was in this club and there was a fight. Well, there wasn't a fight till I got there, but I helped it along a bit. And this guy says, I'm calling the police. I said, all right, call him. He said, you can't leave until the police come. I said, I'm not leaving. Call him. So I'm out in the street with one of these kids, one of these street kids, who scared this bloke by whispering in his ear. It's an old Sicilian trick. When Sicilians whisper, get the fuck out of there quick, because it's dangerous, okay? Never mess with a Sicilian that's whispering. So I taught this whispering trick to this kid. So he whispered to his owners, this club, and the club owner got scared and he called the coppers, the police. So I'm standing out in the street and this policeman comes up to me and says, what's your name, you know? Who are you? And I didn't answer. So he goes, who are you? And then I said very quietly, I said, who are you? And he goes, well, I'm Detective Constable Dix. I said, oh, yeah. And then he went down to the street kid and he tried to arrest the street kid. But the street kid wouldn't have any of it because he hadn't actually done anything very much, you know, other than threaten this guy quietly. So the street kid told this copper to fuck off. Piss off. Then the policeman came back to me and said, we're going to put you in the van and arrest you. I said, are you? I didn't flinch. I just looked him in the eye. I said, are you? Then I told him a terrible lie. Sorry, God. And here's what I told him. I whispered to him. I said, excuse me. Don't take this personally, I said. But there's three types of successful people in the world. There are people that are well off. There are people that are rich. And then there's a third type. And that's the people that are stinking fucking rich. Right? I'm in category number three, officer. You can arrest me. I'm not going to resist you. But tomorrow morning at the police station, there is going to be a bevy, an entire crowd of very expensive lawyers asking you what you mean by this. So now the policeman gets scared. And he says, well, these people in the club have got a right to throw you out. I said, I am out. I'm in the street. How much more out do you want me to be? You know? There's no more out than this. And in the end, the police ran away. This guy got scared. He got scared. Because I had the power, he didn't. He pretended to have the power, but he didn't. I had the power. You've got the power. One of the concepts in the infinite self is you are the power. And you're only the power when you believe you're the power. When you can look in the mirror and say, I'm the power. You're the power. You've got the power. It's really uncomfortable sometimes to even say it, isn't it? I've got the power. Try it. Everybody. I've got the power. Yeah, you got the power. You got it. You are the power. And you do not need anybody's permission. You've got the power. Now, some of you don't know exactly how to use the power. And some of you may not be 100% confident of being able to look a policeman in the eye and say, Chechnya, brother, Chechnya. Have you heard of Chechnya? You know? Or look a policeman in the eye and say, listen, I'm in category three. Stinking fucking rich. What do you want to do about it? We're going to arrest you. You say, fine, no problem, arrest me. But shit, we're going to come on you like a ton of fucking bricks. Try it. You see, we don't think we got rights. We've got lots of rights. We don't think we have power. We've got loads of power. You have the power to be free. You have the power to live without being manipulated. You have the power to live without being abused. You have the power to live without being terrorized. by your husbands, your fathers, your mothers, your wives, your boyfriend, the police state. You have the power to live and earn money and do what you want to do. You have the power to move. You have the power to love. You have the power to invent your own religion. I did. You know, I have a religion called the Church of the Latter-day Stuarts. And I'm Pope in my own church. And I've got one person in my church, me. And I have my own little ceremonies in my own church. And I could give a flying fuck what the other churches say. Not to be disrespectful, but to say, listen, if you want a church with 1,000 rules, it's not for me. I've got like 3 rules, you know? Love myself, love everybody that I meet, and don't pay any fucking taxes. And I've got 1 or 2 other rules. Like, I have this religious aversion, this religious thing about anything that's uphill. You know, like, for example, I don't like Tibet, right? I like the Dalai Lama, but I don't like Tibet. Because Tibet's all uphill, you know? There's nothing in Tibet that isn't fucking uphill. There's no downhill in Tibet for some reason. So I don't like going uphill. So, for example, I would have a religious aversion to walking up towards that door because it's uphill. I'd rather go that way. It's not uphill. So that's one of my little religious quirks, you know? It's not supposed to be uphill. It's not supposed to be a struggle. And once you realize the power's inside of you, you're free. Once you realize you are the law, you're free. So one of the concepts of the infinite self, I can't remember which one, probably number 10 or number 12, is, hey, my word is law. That doesn't mean that you can confront the system because they may tow you away. But whatever you say becomes true for you. So if you want to look your husband in the eye tonight and say goodbye, that's your law. And fuck it if he doesn't like it. You know? What the fuck? Did you come to keep him happy? Did you sign your name in blood somewhere saying, I'm going to keep this asshole happy and wash his socks for the rest of this incarnation? Maybe you did and maybe you didn't. If you're in a situation that's painful, what are you doing it for? You know, like at work or something? It's a painful job, it's boring people, you feel restricted, you can't breathe, it's suffocating, there's a million rules. Fuck off out of there. Be brave. I did a corporate seminar once. You know, people always say to me, Stu, why don't you do corporate seminars and stuff like that? You know, teach corporations. Well, I tried it once in a place called Portland, Oregon, in the northwest of the United States. And this company called me up that does like timber and stuff, you know? And they said, can we send our employees to your seminar? I said, of course you can. And they said, can we get like a group rate? I said, of course you can have a group rate, mate. So they sent about 40 people from the lumber company. And I talked to them a bit about personal freedom and their life and the journey and the infinite self. And the seminar was on a Friday night. On Monday morning, 11 of them quit. Out of 40-odd. So it's 42, 11 quit on Monday. And that was the end of my corporate training career. I've never been back since. Because I'm the kiss of death for the corporate world. Because everybody suddenly realizes, wow, this is a completely arseholic life. What am I doing here? Why am I doing it? And of course, we're doing it because of fear. We're doing it because if we don't TikTok along, we think, my God, my world will collapse. We stay in marriages because we think that somehow we're going to be lonely or something terrible is going to happen if we leave. But it's nonsense, isn't it? I mean, if you're heterosexual, you have 2.5 billion people to choose from, right? When it comes to romance. And if you're bisexual, there's 5 billion. 5 billion people to choose from. There must be somebody out there you like. What? How do you know, brother? You may not have asked them all. And anyway, it's to do with romance and love. It's to do with romance and love. It's to do with the idea that, hey, there isn't any limit here. There's loads of them. There isn't any limit to how you can make money. There's no limit to your spiritual journey. There's no limit to how much knowledge you can acquire. And the only limit is you've got to understand you're free. Oh, wow, I'm suddenly free. Wow, that's really cool. Let's go. Ding, ding, bing, bing. Let's go. You come out of TikTok and you make this turn. And in my book, I call it the 1,000-day climb. And that's because it sort of takes you 1,000 days to get from TikTok to here where you start to begin to develop your spirituality. And you take that spirituality and usually you'll do what I did. You're really awkward with it and you're strange. You know, you get on the green slime tofu diet and you want everybody to do it with you, you know? It's like, you know, in America, there's people that have those head thingies on their head, you know? I don't know if they're Sufis or Sikhs or what they are, but they get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and they eat a piece of cake because somebody in the 12th century thought that was a good idea, you know? And they're vegetarians and they've got all sorts of rules. And there's a lot of them in Santa Fe near where I used to live. And they're always very pale looking and they wear white clothes, completely white all the way, you know? Like they're wrapped in bandages. And they've got this thing that looks like a kid's nappy, you know? Americans call them diapers, that's on their head. And they're very pale, these people. They're super pale. And they always work in health food shops. Have you noticed that? They do, they work in health food shops. So they're really, really pale. And you're at the checkout counter, and this sort of white ghost apparition with this nappy on their head gives you some green slime and says, "This is what I take for energy." And you look at them and you look at a slime and you think, shit, you know, I'm out of here, man, you know. You run across the street into the pub and say, listen, give me a treble fucking Gemmeldan, some vodka, anything you got, man. If that's what these bastards say for energy, I'm out of here, man. It's too scary. Well, that's what happens up here, you see. You start to believe in this shit. So you believe in the, you know, in sort of Rami, Swami, the Bami. And, you know, you don't notice that he's some dusty little fucking Indian up the Hindu Kush who's going, everything is love. Well, I mean, it's like, yeah, man, but I mean, what else? You know, give me the power, give me the knowledge. Oh, no, you don't need any of that. Everything is love. Sit here for another 50,000 years. Give me a break, man. But you see, at the beginning, you can't work that stuff out. You can't work it out because you haven't got the power to say, listen, this is fucking bullshit. You know, so this is a living God. And you think, ooh, wow, sit here. You know, and the incense is there and they're bonging on the drums and people are giving it all of that good sort of meditation stuff and they're omming their oms. And it's very hard, isn't it? It's almost impossible to look at him and think, who the fuck is this guy? You know? They say, oh, no, this is a living God. You say, he looks like a bicycle repairman from Karachi to me. They say, oh, no, 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 excuse me, that's very sacrilegious. You say, no, I've met bicycle repairmen from Karachi. They look exactly like this man. But your brain can't sort of, it can't hack the contradiction, you know? I mean, your brain knows he's a bicycle repairman from Karachi, but it can't accept it because it sort of tells you lies, you know? You buy the idea of the fact this is a living God. Well, if he's a living God, what's he actually saying, you know? Or maybe it's a she, you know? What did she say? Well, actually, she didn't say anything. She sat on a pillow for 45 minutes and said, fuck all. You think, fuck, man, I've got relatives like that. They come around and drink my booze and don't say anything. They're bored me shitless, man. So at the beginning, you can't tell the difference. And that's at the end of the 1,000-day climb. So you're up there with Swami Rami. Who invented this stage? You've got to keep walking, man. You're up here with Swami Rami, and you genuinely believe that the green slime thing's going to work for you. And you're convinced that everybody on the whole planet should have it, right? But you haven't really reached the infinite self. You haven't really reached your power. You're still in this intellectual concept, you know? And have you noticed, like, all those books are very thick, aren't they? You know? The secret teachings of Sri Bongo Dongo Longo Spongo. And it's like 400,000 pages long. And you think, what the fuck's this about, you know? Why is it taking so long? Because God, it's a short word, isn't it? It ought to be like maybe one or two pages long and a few little ideas with it. But here you buy the complication because you have to do a lot of thinking. And then you move along here and there's a place here that I call the plain of desolation. Desolation is where things are very, very sparse. Desolate means the absence of trees. Let's say, for example, a desert would be desolate. You know, the high mountain areas with no trees might be very desolate. Having no friends would be desolate. And the reason why this plain is desolate is because it's there where the ego dies. It's there where you start to embrace the infinite self, and you embrace it through quietness, through meditation, through serenity, through touching nature, through realizing that you're a complete arsehole. You know, it took me years to figure that one out. Years and years and years. I actually thought I knew things, you know? I mean, it must have taken me 3 to 5 years to work out I am completely arseholic. I should, you know, join Arseholes Anonymous here, man, you know? And go to meetings every Tuesday. Because I'm a complete fucking idiot. As you travel towards God, and you go so far away from the TikTok material world, and the ego starts to die. And as the ego starts to die, you start to believe that you're dying. So you'll have all these sort of like near-death traumas. You'll think, my God, I'm falling sick. I'm not going to make it. I'm going to crap out and fall over. And it's just part of this journey. And basically what you're doing is you're moving towards the transcendental self. And the transcendental self is not complicated. It is simple. It is extremely simple. It's even simpler than I'm describing it here. It's just I'm contracted to talk for 2 hours tonight, so I'm going to complicate it a bit. But I can show it to you in about 3 minutes. If you come tomorrow, I'm going to show you how to blow a hole through the top of your crown chakra in 4.20 seconds. Ding, ding. People say, ah, the kundalini, you got to do this, you got to do that, and you have to push your sperm here, and you have to suck here, and you have to take it up your spine through the jade portal and the chakra and the dinky lakra, and la, 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 and you got to sit here and shag in a monastery for 91 years. I can fix the kundalini for you in 4 minutes and 20 seconds. Boom, there it goes. You can see God. You say, it can't be that easy. You say, okay, we'll do it in 3 minutes and 20 seconds. We'll speed it up if you're in a hurry. You see, we're mad. We're so mad as humans. I mean, you have to have compassion for our stupidity. And what's beautiful about it is we're jointly, collectively stupid. It's not like I'm very clever, you know, and these people are very stupid and she's very clever. You know, we're jointly silly. Totally fucking silly. Now, imagine if you were God. You'd be sitting up there somewhere just pissing yourself laughing, wouldn't you? Thinking, my God, well, look what these people are doing. They're sort of banging into each other like idiots. But to cross and to get there, you have to go through this very quiet, lonely place where your world begins to die, where the people that you're friends with tend to drift away, where the things that you used to think were really, really important suddenly change, where you stop seeing yourself as African or Italian or German or Polish refugee, female, male, computer analyst, nurse, doctor, bus driver, and you start to see yourself as an infinite being. Now, the beauty of an infinite being is you can move in any direction you like. So when I teach these kids at night, I teach them how to walk. And first thing we do is we practice walking. You'd think it was obvious how to walk. But I tell them, listen, let's walk down a hallway here, and you've got to own this hallway. So I make them take the power from here and hit the roof, boom. And then I make them spread the power out, left and right, and walk down this hallway. And they do it. And then I sometimes might say, here, do this. I say, walk into this restaurant and silence the whole restaurant so that everybody in this restaurant stops eating and talking. And you'd say to me, well, Stuart, how do you do that? It's easy. You walk in, you just push your power. Boom. You can stop a meeting. And it's amazing to watch. And I'm not lying to you. I've seen it done. And it's just control. It's just having the power. It's knowing that you are the power. It's not mind. It's not money. It's not materialism. It's not sexual power. It's not physical power. It's not political power. It's not fascist black uniform bullshit crap. It's just energy. And in the end, we're only energy. We're not really a physical body. We're an energy, a subtle body, an etheric energy, a feeling. You can move that feeling anywhere. You can touch a person, bing, and make them look round. I take kids, 11-year-old, like I have a son that's 11, and I take him and his mates out, and I make him sit in cafes, and I say, move this man with your mind, with your feelings, tickle his ear, make him look round. And the kids do it. I say, make these people stop walking down the street. And they do it. And they know at 11, they can touch a person, bing, they can hit him. And the person will go, whoops. We're the power. We're basically a feeling inside a body. What you think of feelings are actually only sensations. So when I tap my hand with this mic, that's a sensation. It goes to my brain, up my arm, in a binary system, 0101, on, off, on, off, that tells my brain, you are whacking your hand with a microphone. But that's not a feeling. And then the emotions we feel, pain, joy, hatred, fear, even those aren't actually feelings. They're sensations. Where the feeling occurs is inside the subtle body, not inside your physical body, not inside even your brain. We are basically a feeling. And that feeling is in the etheric. And that's your power. Once you realize that's your power, that's your infinity. And then what can you do with this etheric? You can move it. You can make people see things that aren't there. You can stop them. You can hold them. You can scare them. You can give them joy. You can make... There's a system where you wipe their mind quick, and they go into blank for a second or two. You can stop them talking. You can make them talk. You can empower them to become powerful, or you can debilitate them to become weak. That's the power. And every one of you here has this ability. And you do not have to be a Swami, Rami, Bami on the mountain for 25, 100 years. You can do it quick, instant. Ding, ding, let's go. You just got to believe you can do it. That's your power. So I started teaching people, hey, you've got the power, brother. Come with me, sister, I'll show you, you've got the power. You got the power. And so I'd carry people up that journey. It's hard, it's really hard part of it, because the ego dies and you're lost. When it dies, your world kind of dies. But beyond here, there's a doorway. And here at the front of the door, in this area here, it's what's known in English as a singularity. It's a scientific term. And it's basically an area of extreme gravity. It's almost like you're down a hole. It's the same as the area in a black hole in space. And right near the door, it's very hard to get through the door because the singularity stops you. It took me 3 years to get through. Once you're on the other side, you suddenly realize, wow, we live in a trans-dimensional universe. And it's not hypothetically transdimensional. It's right here. It's right in this room. And these other places and these other worlds are right here. And these other dimensions are right here. So then I started to travel on. Ding, ding, let's go. Ding, ding, let's go. But as I traveled on, I had to face my fears all the time, because the further you go on the journey towards the infinite self, the more frightened you get. There's no cushy ride, you know? There's no cushy ride. So sometimes I'd be out there and I'd see something so scary, you know, like really, really scary, like this really scary being, let's say, you know? And so I'd run away for a bit. Coward. Well, not a coward, but just a human that was scared, you know? And then I got used to looking at this stuff and saying, come on, ding, ding. Have you seen The Matrix? You know? Yeah, come on, you know? So once I started doing, come on, ding, ding, it got so easy. Because these beings would come at me, and I'd go right into their eyes and go, fuck off, boom, boom, let's go. And I'd go to the next one. And then I got into these really, really strange experiences. I mean, totally bizarre experiences. With some of the trans-dimensional beings, that, which are referred to popularly as UFOs and greys and reptilians and that sort of stuff. And I've, like, chased them up the hallway with swords and that sort of stuff. And at first, I was victimized enormously by them, you know? And they'd be in my room and at the end of the bed, and they'd be giving me a hard time, and they'd be making my life difficult, you know? And in the end, I went, nee, ding, ding, come on, let's go, you know? And it's the same with your fears. If you look at your fears and you turn and you run, you'll always be scared forever. If you look at your fears and you don't turn and run and you go, ding, ding, let's go, your fears melt, you know? If somebody's being tyrannical and they are manipulating your life and they're tormenting you and terrorizing you, or they are, you know, manipulating you emotionally or financially, the more you let them do it, the worse it gets, doesn't it? The minute you look at them and say, fuck you, you take the power away. So that was my game. And then I went through that doorway and I just kept going on and on and on and on and on. On and on, thinking, wow, how much fear can I go beyond? So then I kept inventing new experiences for myself that would be even more scary than the last one. And in the end, I've got a feeling your spiritual journey is actually very much a measure of how much fear you can go beyond. Ding, ding, let's go. You know, let's get right in the center of the universe. You know, where all physical form melts and you're left with just the mathematics or the factual nature of the universe. And let's go through that. Bam, let's go. Let's go through this doorway together and discover what's really out there. And so I kept moving, kept moving, kept moving, kept moving, kept moving, kept moving. And I'm really proud of myself because I'm an expert on terrorizing myself stupid. Real expert. Real expert, you know? And I think, wow, what a life. At least we tried, you know? So now I teach people. I teach kids mostly. Only because older people are harder to teach because they've got a lot of questions, you know? And they're serious. And seriousness, I can't deal with seriousness because I'm not a serious person, you know? But when a person's very serious and they've got the carrot up the arse kind of thing, I can't hack it. I don't know what to say to them, you know? I love them, but I can't handle it, you know? So I like kids because they're not serious, you know? So I like working with them. When I say kids, I mean anybody from about 15 to 35 to me is a kid because I'm, you know, 55 myself, 53. But older people, most of them are too serious to be, you know, you can't do anything for it. And seriousness is such a disease, isn't it? You know? I mean, it's a terrible disease, seriousness. And there's nothing, you don't know what to do for people that are serious, you know? And in the end, they die of seriousness. It's fatal, you know? And that's why if you go to cemeteries where they bury serious people, you will always see carrots growing around the graves, you know? And the reason why that's so is because just as before they die, their anal sphincter releases, you know? What happened to my drink, hon? Did you get me one? Is it over there? And the carrots fall out, and that's why, have you noticed that? In cemeteries, there's always carrots there, man. Thank you, sweetie pie. It's seriousness. Seriousness is horrible. And when you think about all the serious people you know, it's scary, isn't it? Well, I find it scary. Maybe you guys are very serious, so you like them, but I find it very, very upsetting. And one of the things about this whole journey that I realized very early on was, if you can't handle your own death, this life will torment you. So in the end, you have to be brave. You know? Death is only serious if you're scared of it. And so one of the things that I taught people early on in the early days and in the 80s when I first started teaching was, hey, you got to face your death, brother, sister. You got to agree to it. And you have to take death with you, you know, wherever you go. And I've been in that many scary situations, that many like life and death situations. And every time I get into one, I think, ding, ding, this is it. And then ding, ding, maybe it ain't. But what difference? Because in the end, you have to accept, you know, do you not? There's no point in fighting life, otherwise you're never free. And one of the main concepts of this whole infinite self is you got to accept. So in any given situation, one of two things can happen. It either will happen or it won't happen. Simple, isn't it? You will either drop dead tonight or you'll still be here tomorrow morning. That's it. You know, either your husband is having an affair or he's not having an affair. Ding, ding. Either you decide to keep him, you know, you take him home, you scrub him down with disinfectant and say, listen, stop that shit. Or you get shot of him. Either they're going to fire you or they're not going to fire you. Either they're going to pay you or they're not going to pay you. But life is so simple when you stop struggling against it. You know, when you just flow along with it. Simple. When there's no more struggle, you're free. You're completely bloody free. It's easy. So I realized, wow, death, no problem. In fact, how many of you can safely say, hand on heart, that you're not dead now? I mean, you don't know, do you? You might have dropped dead a long time ago without realizing it. And this is some sort of human echo in your body that keeps you going, you know? And we can't actually say that we're alive, can we? I mean, you can't prove it. In fact, you can't even prove that your thoughts are your thoughts. Have you thought about that? How do you know they're your thoughts? You can't prove it. And you know how, like, thoughts jump all the time, you know? Some of the thoughts that you have are definitely not your thought, you know? But you can't actually prove that it's you that's doing the thinking. You think, wait a minute, are you kidding? Oh, well, of course my thoughts are my thoughts. And I'd say to you, well, how can you prove that to yourself? And you can't. So maybe all those things that you're scared of, you're not actually scared of them. And somebody else is. Do you think I'm scared shitless of my mother-in-law? You think, oh, no, I'm not. That's somebody else's thought. You see, you don't know, do you, really? So I thought about this stuff, and I thought, relax. What's the worst that can happen here? The worst that can happen is that this plane smashes into a fucking mountain. Boom. You know? And it's a very egalitarian thing, plane crashes. Yet it's a very equalizing thing. It's a bit like sort of socialism, Danish style. Because when a plane hits a mountain, all the people in coach and business class are automatically upgraded to first class at about 800 kilometers an hour. So you all wind up going to heaven as equals, except for the ones that stop at the little red traffic light. You have to encourage them to come to heaven. You say, come on, ding, ding, let's go. Don't be scared. What's the worst that can happen? The worst that can happen is you drop dead. That's it. That is the worst that can happen. And there's nobody here in this room, including myself, that could tell you that being alive is better than being dead. You know, maybe being alive sucks, and being dead's really cool. If you've had an out-of-body experience, as I'm sure many of you, if you've been on this path a while, have, the first thing I noticed was how light one is out of the body. You don't weigh anything. And I remember being out of my body the first time ever and looking back at myself and thinking, wow, man, I feel so light. You know, like I feel literally like a feather. And I'm thinking, shit, every morning of my life I have to get up and I have to schlep like 160 pounds, right? Which is what, 75 kilos or 70-something kilos around all day. I mean, already that's very bothersome, isn't it? You know, it's an effort, isn't it? It's like as if God clips this dead horse to your leg every morning. You think, I'm going on my spiritual journey. And I have 180 pounds, 75 kilos of dead horse clipped to my fucking leg, man. But it should be okay. Because all the gurus, have you noticed they're always uphill, aren't they? That's what I don't like about gurus. They're always up a fucking mountain, man. That already pisses me off. I mean, why don't they have gurus in flat places like Holland and Denmark? No, they're always up in Tibet or some shit like that. Anyway, here we go, here we go, here we go, here we go. It isn't serious. And when you don't fight it, you begin to realize it may take you 10 years. It certainly took me 10 years. Hey, it ain't serious. What's the worst that can happen? What is the worst that can happen? You know, what's the worst that can happen? The worst that can happen is that she's not there tonight when you get home. You know, the wife, the girlfriend, your partner. And you might be sad and you might miss her and you might also think, fucking hell, what a blessing. You know? Because all of the things that are missing in life that suddenly disappear is the God force's way of making you lighter, isn't it? You know, when things have gone, they seem like such a tragedy. And then a week or two later, you think, my God, I'm so glad. Has that happened to you? It happens to me all the time. You know? And I say in my books, if you, let's say, go home and, you know, the stereo and the CD player and the mini disc and the VCR have all been stolen, you can get upset and you can tear your hair out and you can rant and rave about the injustice of it. Or you say, ah, they came for the TV. You know? You don't need a TV anyway. It's bullshit. So what do you need it for? I mean, I haven't had one for years and years and years until the kids protested so bad that in the end I said, okay, if we've got to have a TV, we'll have it downstairs in the basement where the kids can watch it. But I don't want it in any part of the house where I've got to go watch it. You know? If your husband leaves, it's probably just about right now when you need to get rid of this arsehole, you know? If you get fired from your job, it seems so disastrous, and yet it's liberating you, isn't it? I love to put on forms where it says occupation. I love to put self-unemployed. People say, what is self-unemployed? You know? But it's so cool to put that, isn't it? Self-unemployed. They think, what the fuck's that? That's voluntary work, you know? You work when you want to work, and you don't work when you don't want to work. Simple, you know? You study when you want to study, and when you don't want to study, don't study. You come home when you want to come home, and if you don't want to come home for a month or two, post them a letter. Gone fishing. Ciao. See you later. Would you mind feeding the cat? They say, I'm not feeding your cat for a month or two. You say, okay. I'll courier some cat food every 2 days. You see, it could be simple. Because the infinity inside of you is simple. It could be benevolent and kind because the infinity inside of you is benevolent and kind. It could be uncomplicated because a God force, definitely, categorically, I will give you my personal assurance, is not complicated. And it certainly isn't righteous. And there's no hierarchy. So this business of these holy people that are the living something of God, that is complete crap. If you believe it, I feel sorry for you. But then there are many things that I used to believe that were totally stupid as well. So it's not that I'm better than you, but I just feel sorry for you because it's bullshit. You've got the power. You've got the law because your word is law. You've got the energy. You got the perception. You just have to believe and work on it. You got the freedom. The door's there. Ding, ding, let's go. You don't have to be in prison if you don't want to be. It's voluntary. It doesn't look voluntary, but it is. You know? It is. So practice after me. The next time an official comes and asks you and says, you got to do this and you got to do that, finger up, fuck off. I said, are you telling me to fuck off? You say, I have, yes. Fuck off. I'm an infinite spirit inside a body. You can't be telling me this shit. And get your snotty little fucking dog out of my luggage. Fuck off. You don't have to do it a lot of times, but you got to do it a few times to know you can do it. You know? What are you doing? Fuck off. It's got nothing to do with you. What's your name? Piss off. They said they could not have christened you Piss Off. They did. I'm a Polish refugee. My name's Piss Off. Fuck off. You see, and once you realize you can push, it's very scary to push, isn't it? You know? It's very scary to push against the manipulation that people put on you. Because in many ways, some people like being victims, you know? But you know when you have those people that like being victims, you kind of sort of want to whack them in the head to keep them happy, don't you? Their victim energy says, please, belt me in the head, won't you? Boom, do this. So you like victimizing them. The minute you're not a victim and you step back and you go, fuck off, they will run away. If they don't run away, you pick up a big piece of wood and you give them a clip in the head. Bang, fuck off now. This club owner the other night, he said to me, I've got friends in the IRA, you know, the Irish Republican Army. And I said to him, have you now, man? And I went, bang. And he went right off this wall, dying, boing, you know? I said, don't be telling me about the Irish Republican Army. I said, fuck you, man. I've been going to Ireland for 20 years, man. He says, well, I've got friends in the South London Doody Doody gang. So I went bang again. This time he bong bong off the bloody wall again. I said, don't be telling me about the Doody Doody Robbers and Brothers in South London. Well, this arsehole couldn't get the message. So then he says to me, ah, well, I'm connected to a Yardie gang in North London in Islington. What a boom! I whack him again. I said, are you getting it now, brother? I could give a flying fuck for you, the IOA, or your Yardie gang. He says, you've hit me three times. I whacked him one more time in the head. Bang! You know? I said, no, man, you can't count. I've hit you four fucking times. I'm pissed off out of it. And he got scared and he ran away. I mean, I'm not suggesting you do this all the time, okay? But once every so often, it's great, you know? So when the mother-in-law comes around with that stupid cake on Sunday, right? Tell her to fuck off, you know? When the minister or the priest at church says, how are you on Sunday? Tell him, piss off, you know? When your boss comes in and goes, nah, 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 say fuck off out of it, will you? You know, before I got really pissed off and I whack you in the head with this computer, fuck off. And he says, or she says to you, what's the matter with you? You say, well, nothing's the matter with me, but I've just been to a Stuart Wild seminar, so piss off. Fuck you and your little dog too. You know that lovely line from, what was it? Wizard of Oz.
And I get you and your little dog too.
Fuck off, man. Be free. Be free. We don't need this shit. Be free. Don't forget, if you see the little green man, don't cross the road. Wait for the red one. We're going to take a 20-minute break. Thank you.